Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano.
And by
Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way this morning. Having a great time. Captain Tim Exton of the Royal Star. Having a little phone issue going on this morning, so I would say until Christian gets that up and running, we're just going with the text. Text the show option again. So easy, so fun way to participate on Let's Talk Hookup. And, boy, there are a lot of texts coming through. When the phone lines were becoming less successful, we've had a lot of fun texts coming through. So keep those rolling, man. We're going to be taking your text questions and giving away a killer prize at the end of the show today, Corey.
Well, at this point, it's going to one lucky texter, right, Rick? And that'll be a full-day trip on the Liberty out of Fisherman's Landing, who just won the Tuna Wars whole extravaganza with Captain Bob Cook on the boat. But I want to definitely bring to your attention, this part of the show is brought to you by Dana Landing on Mission Bay, your one-stop shop for everything you need to go fishing, a complete saltwater tackle shop, full deli, snacks, beverages, ice, and boating supplies. And for your fresh and saltwater needs, you can visit East County Bait and Tackle, plus the new Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle. All stores are fully stocked with the products and know-how for a successful time on the water. Dana Landing is next to the launch ramp across from SeaWorld and Mission Bay. ECBT is at the end of the 67 in Maple View, right there in Rickeyville, and Lemon Grove, just a step away in Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, and Broadway and Lemon Grove. Check DanaLanding.com for all the information.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, again, while we're waiting for the phones to get it rolling, it's going to be all text, and there's a great one that came through from Mike. Says, question for Tim. Tim, is there a pattern of bluefin biting better on a particular tide or time? It seems like I've been on trips where there be a bite window where those things really bite, and are they often correlated with a time of day or a particular tide?
That's a great question.
Well, certainly time of day. I mean, I'll give you an example of the last couple trips. You know, you look at schools all day long, try them, they don't bite, they don't react. And then late in the day, after about, 4 o'clock, you start hitting those spots and they boil up. You hook one or two, you don't hook any, you hook four, you hook three. So certainly later in the day as it progresses, towards evening, we have seen that consistently. Is it that way all the time? No, but consistently it seems like,
More often than not, you can rely on that
one. If you get into that later day, evening, you'll get more bites then. That's not uncommon. As far as the tides go, I haven't seen a correlation. I mean, and I will freely admit, I don't have my tide book out either every time we're catching fish, so maybe there is some kind of correlation, but if there is, I certainly haven't seen it.
You're not setting your watch to it. Every high tide, these things do this.
No, I think it's more, it's more related to, sun angle, time of day, and certainly moon phase, for whatever reason, they bite, but, and maybe that is related to, stronger movement, more current. Maybe it is, but.
And that afternoon deal might be related to wind chop and surface.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. I mean, I'm so reluctant to assign anything to anything, on a consistent basis because.
Well, lifetime on the water, everything will contradict itself.
Everything. That's the exact way to put it. So
counterbalance.
Yeah, as soon as I say, oh hell yeah, for sure at the high tide, your guy's going to go out there and he's going to be looking at the high tide and they didn't bite. Well, Ekstrom told me it's a high tide, they bite.
On the full moon. I go, okay, well, perfect. I'll be there on the full moon, and that day those things made a move, and now they're not biting.
Yeah,
they bite on the new moon.
Look at this full moon thing with bluefin. I mean, that was absolutely hands down the time offshore.
Always.
4 days before the full, into the full, up to a day or two, but especially a day after the full, pushing into the full and on the full. Bluefin, you'd set your watch by it. Absolutely the best time by far to go offshore fishing. Bluefin, albacore, yellowfin. No doubt.
I remember growing up as a kid and seeing that listed on boat schedules. Well, this trip is an extra $100, and it's listed as the full moon bluefin special.
And now, like the last 2 years, the full moon cycle has been terrible, especially for the nighttime fishing. But
crazy.
You know, is there a correlation? Like, why was it so good for 15, 20 years? You could almost set your watch by it, and now it isn't. What?
Yeah.
What changed? What happened? I don't know. I do know Wahoo are the full moon. I mean, they are the king of the full moon.
Really?
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
No, they move into the shallows.
Uh-huh.
100%.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's like clockwork, you know. No. If they're around, that's when they sweep into the shallows.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
You just mentioned bluefin, albacore. I noticed there was a couple yellowfin caught lately. Like what? I mean, are you seeing a bunch of that or what? Like, I mean, no. I'm curious for myself.
No, we're not seeing a bunch of it. But I can tell you guys, you know, there's always a talk every year going up. I think might remember on the last show we talked about it. The albacore. They're going to be albacore this year. They're going to be albacore. If we catch a yellowfin, you know, anybody catches them in early May.
Put a fork in it.
Done. Yeah. Guns out. No albacore. That is the one constant, you know, we can rely on.
Just the way it is.
Yeah, now that I say that, we're going to blow it up. You know, a bunch of albacore going to show up. But no, that as soon as I heard that, I was like,
the albacore thing always cracks me up, and I can't wait. Corey and I were talking over the show. Like, it's going to happen at some point. And
Pete's going to be right.
Yeah, one of these years, Pete will be right predicting it. And he said this year, like, there's two things that I love. One was the story of the fish you guys caught either last year or the year before that completely slipped under the radar until you were pulling it out of the hatch. And then the other one is our crew at the tackle store, which I think, you know, obviously I'm biased. I think it's the best crew of young men that are in this fishing. Those kids are so good and so knowledgeable and so good at what they do. And as our years progress, there are getting fewer and fewer and fewer guys that I work with and admire, and I, like, seek their advice on fishing stuff all the time. Like, we are getting fewer and fewer and fewer who has ever even seen a live albacore.
You
know,
crazy?
And, like, there's a couple of our guys that are, you know, just out of high school going to college, and you start, like, thinking back. It's like, well, yeah, the last time we had albacore, like, you know, you were seven, you know?
Yeah.
it's pretty wild that the gap is getting farther and farther in between.
I can remember in the 80s, early 90s, Tim, I can remember Joe Machado. I mean, we'd get off the EBCO and a big deal. We're going with Eddie McCune on the Queen, you know? But I can remember a mixed bag, like in the fall time especially, like yellowfin, skipjack, an occasional bluefin if you were lucky as hell, and a few albacore mixed in, like kind of mixed together in the fall.
Take a real
quick
break. When we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Again, a little struggle this morning with the
audio. That's the way live radio is, Rick.
Yeah,
right?
So we were talking about the mix-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right. Typically, as the season progresses, you know, you go into July, August, you start getting those stops. Those used to be my favorite. You know, the long
super
drift.
Cool, right?
Yeah, you're catching straight albacore, and all of a sudden, oh, there's a bluefin, and yellowfin show up on scene, you know, skipjack. We really used to see that a lot down below, you know, where stuff gets all mixed up, you know, fish coming up the line mixed in with the fish that are already there. I used to always laugh to myself, you know, as we're drifting along and all these fish are swimming around together down there. It's like, you think they know?
Right,
yeah, right.
I always wondered that. It's like, is that guy, is he looking over there like, hey, he's not like me, you know?
And I remember the challenging bites, you know, trying to catch a bluefin or, you know, get the albacore to go. But then the skipjack would come through and it would be like the trigger. Like that, the skipjack in the corner.
Exactly.
The 10 to 15 pounders is what would get the 25 pounders to bite.
Yeah,
you know?
Get them all fired up.
Yeah, lathered.
Yeah,
I like to say.
I dig it. Hey, a great text came through. Good morning, guys. My question's for Tim. I looked at the schedule, and you are damn near booked for the entire rest of the year. I know the Royal Star can be difficult to get on. I really want to get a large group of four guys together for a trip for next year. Can you give me a hint as to when the schedule comes out and how we can book a trip for multiple people? That's from Daniel in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, we're actually, like, I have the schedule for next year written. I'm just confirming a few trips, and we're going to post that online. Typically what we do is we post it online around the middle of July, first week of August. But what Tracy does is she blocks off all the trips to give the anglers that are on the trip this year first priority to rebook.
First rights of refusal.
Which makes sense,
totally.
Of course. We want to make sure that everybody's on there, gets a shot at the rebook. And then once each trip, once we get past that date, you know, she'll give, you know, a few days after the trip, and then she'll open that trip up as the schedule progresses. So it will be up online within the next, say, 5-6 weeks for next year. And there's nothing the best thing to do if whether it's a group, an individual, you want to go on a certain trip, if we haven't reached that trip date yet, call Tracy and have her put you down on the list. Because, you know, if we have a trip where 24 anglers on the boat and she comes back in, there's only 20 that rebook or 22 or 18, whatever, she gives it, again, about a week or so, and then that trip opens up. If your name is already there on the list, those spots are yours automatically.
That's what I'm saying.
And even if you leave a it doesn't have to be a big deposit, a small deposit. Leave a couple $100 on each spot, you know, something that you're already on the trip. You're guaranteed if anything opens up.
That's what I was going to say, man. If you're serious about it, you know, you've got a group of four guys, get 50% of the trip cost from your four buds and go down and see Tracy. Hey, we're really hoping to get on this one, this one, this one, or this one, and here's our deposit money for all those. I guarantee you're going to make that happen.
Somehow you're
because you're the first one. And again, you guys should do that. That's awesome respect to the people that, you know, are fishing with you and wanting to go again next year. But if you can pick several trips that are going to work for your group of guys and you have a deposit down, guaranteed you're going fishing.
Yeah, you're
going
to get on.
Yeah.
It there's no question about it. You know, the old axiom about money talks.
I mean, it talks, man.
It just does. So there that is the best way to gain priority when it comes to booking for a trip that's coming up here next year.
And if you have a group of five guys and you're trying to do that this week, that's going to be a little tougher. But you know, do exactly as you're talking about, Daniel. You know, pick that trip for next year. You're going to make it happen, and especially on the times that you want. Another good question. Hey guys, Tim, could you give me a 3-rod arsenal that we should be having to hopefully catch one of these big bluefins on an upcoming trip? That's from Ian in La Mesa.
3-rod arsenal. Here we go again. I'm going to defer back to Ricky because he's the gear master now. And I'm going to tell you, okay, you got to have your live bait daytime rig, and it's going to be, you know, something 40, 50 pound. And then
Talica 12, Talica 16 type size reel.
Talica 12, Talica 16. And then you want your what I call the most versatile rig, which is your Talica 20. You can use that for anything. Your Talica 20, you can put your 60 pound, you can put your 80 pound on that. You can put 100 pound, top shot 100 pound. And you can fish the jig at night. You can fly line a bait in the daytime. You can drop shot sinker. You can sink a rig. That's going to be the most versatile
utility.
Yeah, the utility rig, and especially when there's big ones around, you know, we always gear up. And then your nighttime jigging rig, which comes back to, do you want to use your Talica 20 for that? Which is fine. If you want to use one of these, you know, you want to get a hold of one of these jigging rods, you want to go about it that way. You want to use one of your bigger outfits. Those, I mean, they're great, man. You get in the driver's seat. We catch a lot of fish on them. I don't want to, you know, downplay those big rigs. I'm talking about, you know, a big Avid, a
30 size reel.
30 size reel, exactly. One of those Makairas or the Pen Fab. You know, all of those are effective if you want to use one at night, you know, with your 130 pound, you know, your 100 pound Spectra. So, you know, basically, I'm saying, you know, small, medium, large.
Yeah, totally.
And as far as the rods themselves go or the reel, that's just really boils down to what the angler prefers to use.
You said something. It's how, you know, it's what I learned from fishing the big fish with you before. And, you know, big gear, when you're attached, there's nothing better, you know, but you have to get yourself attached. And, you know, it's a balance of, you know, you don't want to fish at the rail with a Ralph Mikkelsen 80 wide all day because that's a lot of gear to handle and hold and difficult. When you're attached to a fish, it's the easiest thing to wind a fish on. So finding the balance between the gear that's, you know, that's good and effective and easy for you to manipulate. But there's nothing that makes the job easier on an angler like a, you know, big gears and big drags and a big handle from a large reel. It's physically easier to turn the handle on a 50 than it is on a 30.
Yeah.
And it's easier on a 30 than it is on a 12, and it's easier on a 12 than it is on a Torium. I mean, it's just, as you go up, it just makes that job easier.
Especially when you're talking about a 150 or 200 pounder on the end of it. You know,
it's like a car guy. There's no replacement for displacement.
That's exactly right.
A bigger one makes the job easier, but it's not easier to hold a 50 wide at 3 a.m. and try to jig with it all day. Like, that doesn't work either. So it's just all about finding that, you know, finding the balance that's right for, and that's going to be a little bit different for every person. And I it's what we do at Fisherman's Line and Tackle, and I know it's how all the other great shops out there do the same thing is, you know, respectfully, I don't care what an angler buys. Like, I want it to be the right outfit for him. So we just do that. You know, you put all of the reels on the counter and you go over the merits of all of them and the right size and, you know, like, you know, put it on a rod and, you know, this is how it feels. And you're going to, you know, with a little coaching from the guy behind the counter, you're just going to pick the outfit that's right for what you're doing.
And maybe the angler has 90% and almost everything that you just talked about, but doesn't have the heavy nighttime jigging gear, right? You can rent that right at the shop too. I mean,
sure. Yeah. I mean, that is a dynamic that's changed. And I know that it's, you know, under the tutelage of Tim and Frank and Doug and Carl at the Landing, is rental gear is not something like it used to be in the old days. You know, the Landing has made a tremendous investment in not quality gear, but like truly the highest quality gear that's available for rent these days.
Yeah, it's primo. It's so good. And really the key, you know, you guys probably remember 8, 10, 15 years ago, we had a full array of loaner rods on the boat that we used to provide anglers coming on a trip. Hey, we did away with it because it's so difficult to maintain it, mm-hmm. keep it in premium working condition.
But you did it to satisfy the anglers that didn't have the gear, right?
We did. There was a reason. But, you know, we came to the point where the gear at Fisherman's Landing Tackle that's available
is better. It's
so much better. Yeah. You know, and it's so much more well maintained.
Right.
It always has new, you know, line on it, top shed. It's in perfect working condition. Somebody every trip comes in and that combination is tended to professionally. You're way better off.
Totally.
And way better off.
At the Landing, there are multiple people whose full-time employment is to make sure that gear is perfect. From a half day to an 18-day, like that gear, I mean, that's all they do is make sure that gear is perfect. And it's new top shots, it's new wind-ons, and like I have so much respect because the gear is done through the Landing side, and we always put our 2 cents in the tackle store, and we get the 2 cents from the boats. I mean, you know, we're very fortunate that we get to pull from the best pool there is, and it's the boats using it. And I mean, it's Talica reels, and it's CalStar rods, and it's Torx, and like whatever the best piece of gear is for the scenario, like that's what they're putting together. I mean, it's not like good enough gear. It's the single best, and it pays dividends because that gear lasts so much longer. And it's a great thing for us in the shop because we get to see a lifetime. We get to see how a reel is going to perform over a customer's lifetime. Like, we get to see that in one season. Like, it's the ultimate proving grounds. Like, you know right away if a reel is going to cut the mustard because I've got to watch, you know, I get to watch what a Talica 20 looks like when it gets fished literally every single day of the season. And sometimes it gets skunked and sometimes it catches 6 bluefin on a trip. But, like, we get to see real time, like, how the drags and the gears and the guts and everything hold out. It's pretty cool.
I'll tell you, I'll be the on that note, you brought it up. So I'm going to be the walking Shimano ad again. Those Talica reels, any Shimano reel, but those Talica reels, the durability of those things is
insane.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to an awful lot of other reels, you know how many Talicas I've seen break on a fish in the past, you know, since they've been introduced? Honestly, how many? And you can imagine the thousands of big ones, epic, ultimate challenge battles, etc. I've seen one where the handle, he like started spinning backwards. One
out of all the trips and all the anglers,
yeah,
like thousands,
tens of thousands.
Yeah, I mean, under the most challenging conditions and reels are just getting abused and used hard. And I've seen one.
That's wild.
Malfunction.
Yeah, one.
That's crazy.
You know, it's stunning, really.
Yeah.
And the things are bulletproof.
Yeah.
And the performance is incredible, but. You know, I want something that performs and is going to hold up. And all the gear, Shimano was incredibly generous with us when they introduced those Talicas. We had, you know, a variety of them on the boat between 12s, 16s, 20s. I think we had, you know, around 20 of them or something that we used over the years. And those things, I mean, you talk about abuse. You know,
I can't imagine.
Chuck it in the milk crate at the end of the trip, you know, spray it down with water.
If it's lucky.
Yeah. And those, they never did break.
Yeah.
They never did.
Crazy. Right?
The outside of them wore out before the inside. I swear
yeah.
that's
crazy.
Cosmetically, you look at that thing and just go, oh my God.
Oof,
bro, that
she's rough.
She's rough. She's just smooth as silk yeah. inside.
That's pretty impressive.
It is. I'm telling you.
That's cool.
Crazy.
All right. Well, hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We're going to remind you, this portion of the show is sponsored by Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena, where you can get low, low, low gas prices for your car, truck, or your trailer boat. And with a brand new expansion going on at Summit, it's going to allow for even more room and more convenience. They're going to have up to 24 cars and trucks pumping at the same time. And the thing that I love, 12 diesel pumps at Summit Gasoline. Lots of extra room for your car and your trailer, for your truck and your trailer as well, along with 100 pounds of free ice when you do a 35-gallon fill-up. Don't forget the Summit Bistro as well. It now features fresh-made breakfast burritos, sandwiches, salads, all at great prices. It's the lowest gas and free ice for all Let's Talk Hookup listeners. Easy in and out pull through with your boat and trailer too at Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. When we come back, we're going to be taking more of those texts and a lot more fun. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Hey everybody, this is Captain Dwayne Diego, 4-pack charter captain, here to talk to you about Parker Boats and the good folks at West Coast Marine. When it came time to start Pinnacle Sport Fishing and get my own boat, there was only one choice. I wanted a Parker. Then there's a real good reason for it. The fishability and seaworthiness. I've been fishing on Parkers for years now, and I know the abuse they can take. Parker Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt, but that's what I need when we're out 12 hours a day, over 300 days a year, running charters. The guys at West Coast Marine built me one heck of a fishing boat. From the custom tower with steering and throttle controls to the backup bait pump system, my Parker 2520 XLD will deliver me to the fishing grounds reliably and safe. Take it from me. If you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check them out and their inventory and information online at westcoastmarine.com.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain! Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
Seasoned long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Cate and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3, and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.
The perfect day is my family and I on the boat, out on the waterway. I love it. Nothing but sun, snacks, fishing, and of course, life jackets for everyone. Save the ones you love. Life jackets save lives. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And man, I tell you, Rick, despite all the challenges today and not being able to take phones or whatever, we're having so much fun in studio with Tim.
It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to text the show, there's probably literally 200 plus texts.
A lot of texts going through.
And, man, that long one. I don't even know how we're going to get through to that long one. But make them short, make them sweet, and make sure you leave your contact info, because at the end of the show, we're not going to be flipping a coin.
Yeah, we're giving it to a texter.
There it is. So text the show, and we're giving away a full-day trip on the Liberty out of Fishman.
It's fun because with Tim, we don't often get the time to have, like, long-form answers, and, you know, you're very good at being able to do that. So, yeah, this has been a lot of fun and a great show. And, again, text in those questions, just like Jeff did from Valley Center. Fun text. Hey, guys.
Great info this morning. My question is for Tim. Is bigger the better when it comes to quality in general for table fare? Meaning, does a 200-pounder equate to a better product than a 100-pounder and so on? That's from Jeff in Valley Center.
I don't think so. No, I mean, as far as the quality of the meat itself, yes, it's excellent on any size tuna, but I don't think it's better. Personally, my favorite size fish, favorite size bluefin is in, say, that 90 to 120 pound class, 70 to 120 pound. I like the size of the loins, you know,
manageable.
For steaking it, yeah. For cooking it, however you want to do it. But it's definitely not better, the bigger ones, you know. I think that if you really wanted to get into the weeds, the belly meat, like the Toro and the big ones, no, that's a different story.
Okay.
Hello. The bigger, the better, for Hello. Sure. Yeah, that's just unbelievable. You know, you get one that's 3 inches thick.
Yeah.
That's better, for sure. But just for you know, as far as the actual quality of the loin meat, I don't think the big ones are better.
Is the location that you catch them in make a difference? I ask because I've heard you reference fish like at an island before. You know, you remarked about how good the fish were at Guadalupe that were just swimming around eating bait, or maybe the fish that were at Clarion back in the day that were swimming around eating bait versus, you know, offshore. Like, do you see a difference in those or not necessarily?
There's no question. I'm brain farted there. Ask me a question.
The difference in quality of fish that are at an island swimming around versus, you know, offshore racing up and down.
I'll tell you what I think more than anything is the forage that they're on.
Okay.
It makes a big difference. You know, if they're eating, you know, squid and sardines as opposed to red crabs and little shrimps and stuff, mm-hmm. whatever, that has a big impact on the flavor of the meat.
Okay.
Certainly the quality of it. You know, I find that those fish, when they're loaded with red crabs, that, like, going back to the shelf life, the shelf life seems to be a little shorter.
Huh. Really?
You know,
okay.
It's still good flavor, but I think the ones, you know, there's some times where we'll use, you know, sadly, Guadalupe is an example of that, where that fish out there just had a particular flavor to it that was just so incredible, and it was directly related to the forage around that island.
Okay.
Same thing around the islands down below, Hurricane Bank, Clipperton also. It almost has, I wish I could even describe the flavor. You know, I'm not one of the, you know, it's like the bottle of wine.
Right?
I'm getting notes of red crab.
Right? Hints of nutmeg. Yeah. But honestly, like, sometimes you're enjoying that fish, whatever it may be, and you're like, God, man, that thing has depth to the flavor, and I really do believe that it has it, but also water temperature, I'm sure that impacts it, you know,
how you take care of it, you know, everything,
all of the above, but it certainly makes a difference, you know, one fish to the next. Of course, how it was taken care of, but geographically, you know, whatever it's feeding on.
Sure. You know, another thing that we haven't got much of a chance to talk about, but another thing that you get to enjoy when you're on Royal Star is the advanced technique of preparation that some of that fish does. And, like, some of the best fish I've ever got to enjoy in my life was on board the Royal Star. And that's something that's always been a very prideful level for you guys also, is putting such an emphasis on, you know, it's not a greasy cheeseburger at the end of the day on the boat. You know, you guys put a lot of work and a lot of effort into the meals that you provide for all of us as the anglers on the boat.
Yeah, absolutely. And for, as far as the fish goes, I mean, it's an opportunity for us to showcase the product.
And you do, man.
Most of the time, you know, we try during the course of a trip to catch one or two, three extra fish. And our standard is to serve that fish, that beautiful RSW product, on the first night out. Again, it's the showcase. It's, mm-hmm. you know, this is what we're after. Whether it be yellowtail, whether it be tuna, you know, whatever it may be, that's ideal for us. And throughout the course of the trip, we try to incorporate at least, you know, depending on the length of the trip, of course, we try to incorporate, you know, two or three meals. We'll even go out there with the, you know, the open sack. Hey, throw a few in here for the, you know, for sustenance, you know, this round, you know, throw a couple in there. Of course, everybody, you know, is eager to participate, you know, if we're catching yellowtail. Hey, we need three or four for dinner, you know. And instantly,
becomes a competition on who can be the first one to throw it into the old guy. I got you, boys. Yeah, don't worry. And Daddy's taking care of this. It's fine. Don't worry.
In short order, it's, hey, we got enough. Yeah. You know, but there's a method to the madness. First of all, it's the best. We know it's the best protein there is available.
Yeah.
There's fresh seafood, you know, right out of the ocean.
Cleanest.
It's the cleanest. Yeah. It's the best. It is important. You know, you hear it's like, oh man, caught a fish and filleted it, you know, right there off, you know, 10 minutes after we caught it and cooked it on the grill. Actually, a fish that you put in that RSW is better. If you leave it.
You want it to relax.
Let it relax. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, refrigerate it, get it cool, bleed it out, let it relax. Those fish are much, much better.
12 hours later, 24 hours later, what do you think's the primo time if you're going to do something fun like that on the boat?
I think a good 24 hours is best. That said, it's not like it's dog meat. You know, it's in there for 12 hours. I mean, it's still good. But I personally, I think if it sits in there a good 24 hours, it's that much better. There's a few variables, of course. Number one, what comes to mind is like these last few trips, you know, these 3-day trips and the like, where you're fishing till 1 a.m. on the last day. You know, the day you get in, well, those fish, you catch a 100-pounder at 1 a.m, we're offloading at 7.
Sure.
It's only been in there 6 hours, but we're removing the innards, of course. Mm-hmm. We're gilling and gutting it.
Which heat up the fastest.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that they infuse a lot of heat, or they retain a lot of that fish's body heat. But if you take that out of there and that RSW invades that body cavity, I mean, it's surrounded by 30-degree seawater. It also invades that body cavity. I mean, you're pulling heat from that thing.
Inside and out.
Oh, yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, as fast as it can be pulled. That fish, you know, the quality is still going to be primo. And we see it there at Fisherman's Processing. But it would blow your mind, you guys. You catch a 100-pounder, right? And even taking the guts out of it, you put an RSW, 30 degrees. You pull that thing out 6 hours later, you core temp it. And it's still like,
no kidding,
still 40
degrees, you know, 40, like it takes a long time.
Yeah. Okay.
A
crazy
long time to get that entire fish down, you know, the core down to whatever the surrounding media is.
One thing we've talked about, and I know we've talked so much today about your RSW, but I think it's a really cool thing is there's different ways that different people set up different systems, and some of them can be a little bit dummy proof, and I mean that in a very good way in that they're adjusted with a thermostat, but I remember you guys talking, that's not the route that you guys chose to set your system up. Is that something you could talk about that we would all get to understand and like kind of wrap our mind around how your system can be a little bit different than some of the others?
Yeah, ours is completely unique. I think we're the only ones in the entire fleet who have our refrigeration system set up with, rather than cycling on thermostats, we actually regulate the refrigerant going to each individual tank. We have our system set up where it's a common manifold, so all of the refrigerant comes back to the same place, but each tank has an individual set of valves. So ahead of the expansion valve, without getting too far into the weeds, just view the tank as there's a hose that puts Freon into each well, and it's just like your garden hose. You can regulate the amount of refrigerant
going through there,
going to each well.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How many different wells?
We have three.
Three wells. Okay.
Yeah. So each tank, you know, we go back and, okay, I get this one to 30 degrees, right? I've got the full speed refrigerant going to it. I get it to 30 degrees and I just close that valve off to where now there's just a trickle going to it. So it actually maintains that temperature, and we do it by taking the actual physical temperature with it, you know, with a thermometer. Okay, it's at 30. Now I know it's where I want it.
And somebody's constantly monitoring
it. Yeah, all the time. And we check it every hour. And so let's say I've got it at 30 degrees and we catch 25 bluefin in that stop that are 100 pounds.
You
right?
need to cool it down like
you're
fast.
Adding a bunch of heat to that tank. You know, say their body their core temp is at 70 degrees. You know, you add that. That's a lot of latent heat in there. Well, I just go down to the tank and I open that valve back.
Crack
up.
It.
Now I'm cranking on that thing. The temperature never comes up above like, you know, 31 or 32 at them. I mean, we have to add a hell of a lot of fish in order to raise the temperature that much, because the seawater in that tank, you know, I mean, there's a lot of cold in there, mm-hmm. and it pulls that heat out of those fish combined with regulating the refrigerant. What I see is most critical with that RSW is keeping fish in refrigerated seawater is maintaining a constant temperature.
Because once it fluctuates,
You're bringing everything in there that's already at 40 or at 30, rather. If you bring it up to 40 degrees again,
it's got
to
be disastrous.
A bunch of heat, and it takes, you know, 6 hours to pull it back down. Well, you're bringing everything up. You're bringing everything down. You're bringing everything up.
The quality is doing the same.
It's going to affect the quality. And then the last thing, and where we have this huge advantage is it's very difficult because seawater doesn't freeze until 28 degrees, right? So the fish actually isn't frozen. Even at 30 degrees, it's not frozen. But getting a tank, like on a thermostat, it's very hard to maintain a 30 degree or 31 degree temperature because, you know, the core of your coil has to be colder than the surrounding in order to be refrigerated. So when you're running a system wide open, it's trying to pull it down to 28 or lower, and you create ice in your system, you know, whether you have coils in the well or a chiller. And once you create ice, you start insulating things, and the temperature just starts climbing because now you're not refrigerating efficiently anymore. You have ice in there. Guys add salt to break up the ice, and now the coil gets colder than 28. You bring the temperature down, now you're freezing stuff, or you're in that limbo.
Everything you're describing is exactly the way you do not do it.
That's exactly right. You don't want that to happen. And where we have, like I said, this big advantage is once we get the temperature where we want it, we don't ever let it get to 28 because it gets to 30 and we pinch it off. So we're actually able to maintain that 30, 31, which is the sweet spot.
Beautiful.
We're actually able to maintain it there where the majority of the other systems – they go a little below it. They go a lot above it. They go a little low. They go. You know, it's
constant fluctuation.
Right. So, you know, the difference when you offload a fish, and you've seen this, I'm sure. If you offload a fish at 32 or 33, 34 degrees, that thing is like, you know, it's Gumby. It's rubber man. If you offload one at 30 or 31, it's just this beautiful. It's got
brick.
It's not a brick. It's firm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's what I meant.
It has that firm integrity. It's not wobbly, you know.
But it's also not solid. You know, you can still put a knife into it.
It's not frozen.
Yeah.
It's not frozen at all. So I know I got way into the weeds.
No, but it's
that's
good,
what
it's
I was looking
stuff.
For. Yeah, that's right. You did a great job of explaining.
I have a text I want to read because we've talked so much about fish care and about fish handling, and it all relates majority to sport boat style, right? But Darren Menifee sends us, thank you, Darren. He says, good morning, guys. Please talk about large kill bags for tuna, your preferred specs, like a flat bottom, no zipper, drain hole size, and removable lining, and certain brands. And thanks for the info. Time to go hook up.
Darren must have been clairvoyant. I was just about to say about the kill bags because you create that slush solution with the ice, add that little bit of salt.
Prime time.
That's as good as it
prime
gets.
Time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, the fish is dressed, of course, you know, get those gills in. It's the same thing. It's RSW in a bag.
And I think it all, Rick, help me out here because I wanted to read that because I want to learn too. And I think Reliable was one of the first bags on the market.
Became the most popular one. Yeah.
But now like Aftco, like they've come out with the non-zipper, the Velcro, and a larger drain hole. Flatter bottom. I mean, help me, help Darren.
Lots of great options. It's something that we struggle with on our boat if we're trying to take a couple of big ones, because everything we learned on our boat we learned from getting to go fishing with Tim, and I mean that. You know, was very fortunate to get to go fishing with them, and I think that they, you know, all of our fish care practices and my boat partner Neil, both the same thing. Like, we were very fortunate to do a lot of trips with Tim and that crew, and like, so everything we put into practice, it was what we learned from them. We don't have an RSW, but those kill bags become the way that we can do that. And same exact thing, removing ice or removing the guts out of the fish. And you know, we don't have an RSW, but you can slurry water and ice, and you can use salt to extend the life of your ice. And we used to have the bag half full of ice. Well, now we use a couple of bags, and we'll have a couple that are empty and a couple that are full. And so that when a fish comes on board and we pull the guts and the gills out of them, we scrub them up real good. Then we start bucketing ice from a full bag that has nothing but ice into it into an empty bag. We put a little layer down, and then we really try to pack that gut cavity full of ice, and we jam it down with the, you know, with the back of the bait scoop. And And
just like Tim mentioned, like cooling them down from the inside and the out.
So bag shape is something that is like, it's tough because ideally a bag that has like a rectangle base will be a lot easier on you, because if it's two flat sides that just come together, when you put ice and fish in the middle, the middle bulges out, which now the tops don't want to come together as easy, and it puts a lot more stress on the zippers. So if you have a bag that has a rectangle base, when you put your fish and everything in it, the top wants to be more, it's straighter. It's easier to come together. The downside to a bag that has that shape on a boat like mine is they don't lay flat and roll up nearly as easy. And a kill bag that's big enough to hold a 200-pounder, or, in a perfect world, a couple of them and a couple hundred pounds of ice, is not an easy thing to store on a 25-footer. So you just have to manage what is best. That AFCO Harvest bag is an ideal shape, and they got rid of the zippers, which, oh, my God, that is going to be a godsend when it's all said and done, and they get that thing dialed just perfect. Because the zippers are a nightmare, and some of the bags leak, but others take up too much space. So, again, it's one of those gray areas. Nothing's a perfect, but it's just a managing budget, cost, space, storage, how big you actually need, ice, that kind of thing.
And I don't have a reliable bag, but I've heard the downfalls of that are, like, they leak. And some people like the leakage, but like Tim mentioned, you want to have that slurry. You want to be able to have a submersible liquid of ice that you're submerging the fish into, right? I mean,
that's ideal.
Ideal,
for sure.
Yeah.
Which is why that the refrigerated seawater in an enclosed tank. I mean, that you can't get any better than that, because that temperature is maintained and that product is completely surrounded by that media, both in and out.
Yeah.
So as far as actually pulling heat away from the fish, there's no
better. Better way.
Right.
And so, Rick, the AFCO bags are completely sealed, right? Like, they'll hold all that liquid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They have an inner liner that is removable to make it, for cleanup.
Cleanable.
A waterproof thing. There's no seepage out of it. Yeah, and some of them by design, they like the idea, the word was so that, the blood water could, slowly seep out of them. But
if that's what you want, sure, then go for it. But, yeah, I understand. Hey, I appreciate all the good info.
Yeah, totally. Not a ton of time, a kind of quick one, but a great question. Hello, Tim. I've been on multiple trips where I didn't have the correct setup on my jigs. Can you explain knife jigs and how we should set them up with leaders and hooks? Top, bottom, treble hooks, multiple hooks, all the same. What's your favorite? That's from Sam.
Yeah, I can't explain it, but Ricky can. Oh, my gosh. I was just thinking of the hook setup.
The configurations.
As I look at this big old bruise on my hand, from the last, those things, I know I'm getting off into.
Was that from the last trip?
Oh, my gosh, man. Those things, hey, you get, going back to, you get a 100-pounder up on deck and you try to land it gently, at night, and it's got the big knife jig hanging out with festooned with hooks. I mean, those things.
The party favor.
Festooned.
The party favor. Dude. Those things can really be hazardous. And you lean down to spike it, what I mean?
And he's wielding a 1-pound with hooks
and
everywhere.
Once in a while you hit it, I mean, they, even when you do it perfect, they'll get a little shudder, and that thing, whack,
12 inches of jig slinging around with hooks on the top.
But there's a lot of rigging methods to it that I see. They're all effective, but Ricky, you can probably describe it in detail.
You nailed it. There's lots of ways to skin that cat, and they all seem to work well. I defer a lot to Gavin and Brawlo when they were on the show last time, and they said they have simplified back to liking 2 assist hooks at the bottom of the jig. And his theory was, when they're in short stop mode and they're catching a lot of fish, there's a lot to be said about the jig at the top and the bottom. Oftentimes, the free hook that maybe isn't in the mouth will whip around and it'll snag that thing in the gill plate, which on one hand is great. Now you've got 2 hooks in 2 different places and 2 barbs. And, if he were to maybe shake, bluefin or head shaking sons of guns more than other fish. And so on one hand, that's great that you've got, 2 secure points of them. What Gavin said his frustration was when that other hook whips around and snags it in the gill plate or down by the pec fin.
Now you're pulling from a funky angle.
That's it, yeah. And he said, I can't tell you how many times we've pulled, you know, we've had a guy pulling on what ended up being a 40 or 50 pounder, but he's pulled it in semi-sideways, and we thought it was a 100 pounder, and it took us twice as long. And so his opinion was two hooks at the bottom. But, I mean, how do you tell a guy that he's doing it the wrong way when it's still super effective up and down? And I think the length of the jig maybe comes into a little part of that. If it's a small thing like the sinker, that whole thing's going down the gullet. And if it's a real long one, it's still popular to see a hook at the top and at the bottom. And I think the big thing is, I don't know that there's a wrong way to do it, but there's things that are more safe. There's things that are maybe a little less snaggy for other people around you. I mean, you got multiple guys fishing, so there's all kinds of things. You got to worry about the hook grabbing the rail when the, you know, if there's multiple hooks coming and that fish is getting lifted up over the rail. I've seen that before where the, you know, the top hook snags the railing as the fish trying to get slid over. So
or poor Tim's right forearm.
I think that for sure there was a trend there for a bit that more is better.
Yeah.
You know, it's like like I said, you know,
if three are working, six has got to be better, right?
I can hang some more hooks on here.
The party favor, that was epic. I tend to agree with what Gavin has said. I actually don't think it's that great of an advantage to have, you know, four hooks off the top of the thing either. I think the thing's going to eat it. He's, you know, they swim through it. They suck it down.
A couple those, solid hooks.
Those hooks
and
on the back
good.
End of it, that's going to be as effective 99% of the time as anything else.
All right. Hey, we're going to be right back. Appreciate all this good information. We're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hook Up App, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
This is Pete, and I hear it all the time. That Jim and Mary at Poway Valley Collision are amazing. I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, mentioned Let's Talk Hookup, and they gave us VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. At some point, your car will need a body repair, and I'm confident in saying it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your next car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. When you take your car or truck to Poway Valley Collision, the job and experience will be top-notch. Get it fixed right at Poway Valley Collision, 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check powayvalleycollision.com.
When you plan your next tuna trip, be sure to select the right boat. And in San Diego, that's the Tomahawk. The Tomahawk is captained and owned by 20-year veteran Dave Ibrahim. Dave is highly skilled and will put you on the fish. The newly refurbished Tomahawk is the perfect platform to target bluefin tuna. Large deck space, oversized galley, comfortable bunk room, tons of bait capacity, and a massive refrigerated fish hold are just some of the reasons why. So next time you plan your fishing adventure, plan to fish the Tomahawk at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. You'll be stoked you did.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. To charters or schedule, check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone. The Ford F-150. Available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And man, I think from this show, Rick, I take number one, respect for the harvest, man. Yeah. Right there. Royal
well,
star.
Well said. Well, let's find out who's going fishing on board the Liberty there, Corey.
It's going to be Dave. Dave from North County, San Diego.
Congratulations, Dave. Tim, such a rad show. Unconventional show with all the text, but man, we never get this long to get to answer all the questions. This was awesome. Great time with you this morning. That was a lot of fun. Thanks for joining.
Thank you, guys. And again, look at RoyalStarSportFishing.com. The daily reports. Alex is going to... phenomenal
yes,
job
he has.
On Instagram.
Social media is
yeah,
top.
Those guys are rocking. So we're actually up to the 21st century now as far as our social media. Call Tracy in the office. And, again, follow along. Thank you very much.
Great job. Hey, another great show coming for tomorrow. The pilots, Tom Green and Adrian from Cedro Sport Fishing, will be joining us. We're going to be talking fishing a lot more. You stay tuned. Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.